Well, good to see you tonight. Let's take our Bible and go to Matthew 15, 29 through 31. I've come in, and a lot of people ask, how you feeling? I feel fine. I just can't talk about it. This happens to me about every 3 or 4 years. I get a head cold, and it'll settle down, and take me a day or two, and we'll shake that off. Matthew 15, 29, 30, 31. I just want to talk for a few moments tonight about down at Jesus' feet. Matthew 15, verse 29. Departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee. And having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. They brought the hurting and laid them down at his feet. It's that little phrase I want to talk about and show you in Scripture at least three things that happen down at his feet. Number one, down at his feet is a place of healing, a place of healing. We see that in this text where they brought those that were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and others, and laid them down at his feet. Now I'm going to go to two other items in a moment, then we're going to come back to this one, and we're going to conclude tonight by practicing laying them at his feet. If you're in this room and you need a physical touch and a healing, we're going to pray over you tonight. If you know someone that you're praying for and you want to come at this altar and lay them at Jesus' feet, then we're going to conclude our service in that way in just a little bit. But the first thing we find in the text is that it was a place of healing. And so we're going to trust God for a place of healing tonight and lay them at his feet. Maybe your healing, another's that you need to pray about, then we're going to conclude with that and we'll come back to number one. Secondly, down at his feet is not only a place of healing, it's a place of learning. Take your Bible, go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 39. Luke 10, verse 39. We find the Word of God saying, she had a sister called Mary, that's Martha, had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Down at his feet is not only a place of healing, down at his feet is also a place of learning. Now, beloved, till you get your life at Jesus' feet, you ain't gonna learn much. Because you're so stinking arrogant and think you know everything, you don't need anybody else to teach you. But if you ever get your life at Jesus' feet, like this lady did here with Mary, Mary came and she was at his feet. Now, the Greek text doesn't say this, but she did shut up. Because she was listening. You got to shut up to listen. Some people talk so much they can't learn anything. You got to decide there is a teacher and you're not it. That you're the pupil. There's a time to teach and there's a time to learn. You come to Jesus' feet to learn. So if you're going to do that, how do you do it? Well, let me tell you four things you ought to do. Number one, you need a good Bible. If you're going to learn at Jesus' feet, you need a good study Bible. I use a Ryrie study Bible. Charles Ryrie just died this week. You see it in the news where Dr. Ryrie died. He wrote all the notes in the Ryrie Study Bible. You need you a good study Bible. I jokingly talk about this from time to time when I'm teaching, and that is in the Ryrie Bible, there's a line at the bottom, scripture up here, Ryrie's notes down at the bottom. And I always say, don't get that confused. What God says up here, what man says down here, they're not the same, they're not even equal. But every now and then, learned people can write some stuff below the line that will help you understand what's above the line. Sometimes they mess up below the line. Sometimes I disagree with Ryrie down there. Not often, but from time to time. Most time I agree or I wouldn't be using his study Bible. I have several study Bibles. I have John MacArthur's study Bible. I love to argue with John MacArthur. I have Criswell's study Bible. Any passage I'm going to teach on, I usually run get those study Bibles somewhere in my study time, and I read what's below the line or out at the side, however they have it placed together. But if you're going to learn, you need a good study Bible. Now, what do you need to do with that study Bible? Read it. I know it looks good on the shelf, but you don't get much just gazing on the lovely leather cover. You got to read. So shut up, get at Jesus' feet, and open the Bible. Read the Bible. And read the text before you read anybody's study notes. Let God be your teacher. Before you find someone else to give an opinion. So you need a Bible. Secondly, you need a notebook and a pen. Notebook and a pen. You need to write down. You need to mark your Bible. Someday you're going to die and they're going to call me to do your funeral. And I'm going to ask to see your Bible. Write something in it. Draw a line under one verse, wouldn't you? It'll give me somewhere to jump off and start that funeral. Man, I love to go to people's Bibles, really got them marked up. Man, out here, things I've learned, got over here. And then you go to their notebooks. Rarely do I read any of that, but people will show me here's their, we use the word journal, and they're just writing about what God's taught them. I write mine in my prayer journal. I just finished another one the other day, and I just stack it up on the shelf, got another blank, just a book with blank pages. I start every day as I did this morning, February 21. I begin to pray in that journal. Everything God tell me something, I write it down. I'm back reading through Proverbs this month. I just finished reading through Isaiah. It's the first of the year, and I've been in Isaiah just reading through Isaiah, letting God teach me out of Isaiah. Now I'm in Proverbs this month, and I'll go to another book in March. Just in my daily reading time. Just reading through a book of the Bible and asking God to speak to me down at Jesus' feet. You need a good Bible. You need a journal with a pen. Thirdly, you do need a commentary. Go find a book. Go a little deeper in that. Rachel, did I see you and Brad coming? Yeah, Rachel over here, she steals my books all the time. And she's in a Monday night Bible study with Jan Lankford. And I can tell what they're studying because she'll come by and she said, Daddy, can I borrow? She's always borrowing my books. I have blank places in my library where she's borrowed books. Her library's building up pretty good, I think. They studied seriously. They studied Revelation. And so I went out and she wanted to borrow one of mine. She got Dr. Paige Patterson's book. Well, the last time I was on the campus, I told Dr. Patterson, I said, my daughter needs a copy of your Revelation. And he signed her up and sent her one. So they study, those girls do, on Monday night. And they study the Bible, and they keep their notes. But then they read out of a commentary to find background and what they need there. So fine, good. So, well, I wouldn't know what to go over to our media library. There are great books in the library. Now, I know nobody reads books under 30 anymore. Everything's online. It's on an iPad and on your phone. And I still like a book. I like to mark up a book. I just like to draw in it and write words out to the side. was looking to see if, did the Jernigans come in tonight? I got a word for Dr. Kim Jernigan. I told you this morning I've been reading through that biography of Booker T. Washington. He said after slavery, the number one thing that the black populace needed was to be taught to brush their teeth. Nobody had a toothbrush. They had to use other utensils. He said just didn't care for their teeth. Man, you ever had an abscess? Huh? But I used to have just poor teeth. When I was a kid growing up, I'd have those. Can you imagine sleeping in a house on a dirt floor and having abscessed teeth? How you'd hurt, the difficulty of all that. Man, somebody, that's why he started schools. They wanted him to run for office, he wouldn't run. He wanted to be a preacher, he said, God didn't call me. He said, I took people and I taught them. Teaching is so very important. And we need to learn down at Jesus' feet and listen to people who know more than we know. Do that with a Bible, do it with a journal, do it with a commentary. One of the most important things you'll learn when you read this book, and you've heard me say this again and again, a text without a context is a pretext. Anybody can take something out of Scripture and just lift it up and draw it up out of its context, let it say anything you want to. But if you drop it down in the context of Scripture, there'll be hermeneutical principles all around it, and there'll just be two or three ditches that you can run that truth in. You can't just pull it out and make it say anything you want to unless you take the text out of the context, and therefore you have pretext. You need to learn at Jesus' feet. So let's be good Bible students. Amen? Amen. Got your Bible? Read it. Get a pen. Mark it up. Keep notes. Bring questions to your small group connection leader and say, what does this mean? If they don't know, they'll go find it for you. They were learning at Jesus' feet. But not only is down at the feet of Jesus a place of healing, we're going to come back to that. Not only is it a place of learning, it is a place of worship. Go to the 28th chapter of Matthew. Jesus has just come forth from the dead in Matthew 28. It's the Sabbath day. Began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene, verse 1, other Mary had come. And you drop down to verse 8 and 9. And they left the tomb quickly with fear, great joy, ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Now, we've messed up in the church. We think that when the musicians stand here, that we've entered into worship. And after the singing, that worship has ended. Well, it's a worship service from beginning to end. The music is a portion of what we do. The preaching of the Word of God is worship. Praying is worship. Giving your tithe and offering is worship. Greeting one another in fellowship and koinonia is worship. The whole of what we do as we pray is worship. But you'll never worship until you get to Jesus' feet. It's what music prepares us to do. It brings us to the feet of Jesus. It brings us to be redeemed. Travis singing that song, my old ways are gone. I'm not what I used to be. Man, that brings me to gratitude, thanksgiving. And that's what all worship ought to do, is bring us to the feet of Jesus. And you'll never worship till you fall at his feet. Now, we're pretty good at standing up and shouting. We're just not very good at getting on our face at Jesus' feet. Some of the great times of my life, and they've not been a long list, but some of the greater periods of intimacy with our Lord is when I've been broken on my face at his feet. That's when God's done something in my life. I was kidding Rachel about her books, but she's our firstborn, and at the birth of our first child, I've shared with you when we brought her home and put her in the crib, I crawled up under the crib and got on my face, and I reminded the Lord I didn't know how to do this. I said, I got to have some help here. And I cried out unto God. Amen. God called me to preach. I didn't know how to do that. So I just found me a place all by myself and got on my stomach before the Lord. I said, God, I don't want to do this. I don't know how to do this. Not my will, yours be done. Wherever you tell me to do, I do it. But I'm telling you up front, I don't want to do this part. But I acquiesce just to simply say, God, your way, not my way. Oh, it's a great day in my life. Boy, and God called me to go to seminary. I didn't want to go. I had a cool offer from a church running about 300 in Sunday school. I was in a little country church. I didn't want to go. Drive all out there to Texas and give up everything, go to school. Man, I was making a pretty good living, had a pretty good church offer. How did you decide? I got on my face. I came here to be your pastor. We went through a tough patch. I'll never forget it. Some of you good friends with Conrad Noel, and old Conrad, and over at Randy Nepper's house, we called a prayer meeting one night. Whew. We wet the carpet in old Nepper's house. 12 men. We cried, oh God. We give you our church. We give you everything we got. We got at Jesus' feet. Let me tell you, beloved, you'll never worship till you get to Jesus' feet. You have the greatest voice in America. You can win some contest on television, but I'm here to tell you that doesn't make you a singer till you get to Jesus' feet. There's something about the touch and the anointing and the glory of God that only comes to a broken vessel. And I honestly believe the greater the self-brokenness, the greater the anointing. And when God has to break you, I just think you lack some depth. He will break you. Don't think he won't. But when you can come to the end of yourself without something of God's power and twisting in your life, and you just come to surrender, I'm telling you, there is a fresh oil that comes at Jesus' feet. And you cry out, oh God, and you just, but most of us are so hard-hearted, it takes tragedy to get broken. It takes a family member in difficulty, or a sick parent, or something over here, cancer. Usually it takes something to get our attention. And then God breaks us. Liz and I have been through that again lately with some family matters. Been a while since I'd cried the carpet wet in my office. Boy, God crushed my heart. I got hold of Jesus' feet. Dear God, I don't have nothing to do with it. I can't fix it. It doesn't have to get very far to get beyond what I can fix. If you get honest, same for you. We get broken and we get at his feet and we find ourselves calling out, oh God. You know, that word worship is nothing other than just a kiss toward God. That's what the word literally means. We just throw our affection toward him. Say, oh God, we love you. We're not worthy. Nothing we've done to earn it. But we love you. And we fall at his feet. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, it's a fresh night. It's a fresh time when you fall at his feet and cry out unto God. You don't have to be praying for anything big in the church. You just get with some of God's people and begin to cry out. And I'm telling you, you need to be doing that as we prepare for the 20th of March. As we come together and fill this room on a Sunday night and pray. We need to be broken before God so that the fresh oil of the Lord would flow among us. At his feet is a place of learning. At his feet is a place of worship. But our text tonight out of Matthew 15 is that it's a place of healing. So Brother John, I want you to come to the keyboard and begin to play softly. Here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. We're going to pray for healing. Now, if you have in your life a physical issue and you'd like somebody to pray over you, then I'd like you just to come and kneel here and I'm going to have some folks come and they'll pray over you. I'm going to ask you, any of our guys, you're active or you ever been a deacon on the groups with me? That's what I'm asking you to do. Deacons that have been deacons since I've been here. I'm going to ask you men to come right now. I want my deacons to come and just kind of stand over here. All right, just all you deacons, come on down here and help me. These men are going to pray over you. All right, so that'll be good. Amen. So they're coming. Now, if you need to be prayed for, you just feel free to rise up and come and kneel down here and we're going to pray over you. All right, so anybody wants to come, you feel free to come.